And we're back with another episode of the MDM Podcast. Joe Morales, Jake Springer here for Trevor. He'll be back next week. But, Jake, what a game last night if you're a New York Met fan. A ridiculous comeback in the sense of I haven't seen anything like that in a long time where they overcome a six-run deficit in the ninth inning. It was a crazy night in Philadelphia. And if you're a Met fan, you're ecstatic right now.
Joe, I'm going to give you the stat. I'm sure you've seen it all day yesterday. Is that the Mets were 0-330. And they're like the power many games that is trailing by six runs. The Mets were
335. It was something like that. Something ridiculous like that.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And of course, the comeback yesterday was absolute madness.
Yeah, and it comes after they played a very sad, slow, lifeless 8 innings of baseball before they could start the comeback. And they only had 3 hits going into the inning, and it looked like it was going to be another blowout loss, but credit to the offense for coming back. But this was a Taijuan Walker start, and him getting shelled like that in his second start back from the injury, yeah. The second injury he had this year.
I think another issue with that is he's thrown 3 games this year, and they've all been against the Phillies.
Right, yeah, sure.
I'll cut him some slack on that. But the bigger question is, when you get DeGrom back, Walker, I think, has to be the odd man out here if DeGrom's
healthy. It's him or Carrasco. It's one of those two.
And I mean, Carrasco had that one really bad start against St. Louis, but otherwise, Carrasco's looked really good.
It's going to be him or Carrasco. You can't take McGill out. Because he's been one of the best pitchers in the league so far. That was going into the year, that was the guy that was going to be taken out. You can't take him out right now.
I would not take him out.
And you can't.
And the way Walker threw yesterday, it's not something that obviously the Mets want in their rotation.
Now listen, they don't know when they're getting DeGrom back. They also don't know if this is what Taijuan Walker is. Like you said, he's played him 3 times.
So, I mean, that's not eventually easy. The team is going to
figure him out, yeah.
And I mean, the Schwarber, once again,
Just kills the Mets.
It's ridiculous.
Kills them.
14 home runs.
They just got to start walking them. You cannot keep pitching. He kills them. But it's not about the pitching. I just wanted to mention that on Walker. Big thing to me here. I give credit to the Met offense for getting it going in a big way in the ninth. Especially Lindor. And if you've been watching the Mets, you know how bad of the last few weeks Lindor has had. He was up at one point hitting near 320. Now he's down at 240. He's looking a lot like his 2021 self right now. But I give him a ton of credit. He got that starter last night. He was the first guy to hit the home run. Marte was the first one to score. He got that inning going last night.
Joe, the thing that, for the first time really this year, that really ticked me off was the first inning error.
The errors, Lindor, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I make the point that if Lindor's not going to hit, then he has to do it with the glove. Which,
yes.
I'm not going to lie, he has struggled in the field a bit this year.
But he needs to hit. You can't get paid $30 million and not hit. You need to hit, like you did in Cleveland, like you're one of the better players in the major leagues. You can't hit 240 2 consecutive years and it'd be okay.
No, and I fully expect, once again, Lindor to pick it up as we saw at the beginning of the year.
Why? When have you seen him do this here?
Joe, the first
two weeks?
It's just the stretch that he had in the beginning, and the what, and he's hitting the ball hard. It's not like he's
He's getting out. Back. Those are outs.
Joe,
I don't care.
The baseballs are
dead. They're not dead. And the players. What's Anthony Rizzo's excuse? What's Aaron Judge's excuse?
They're playing well, Joe.
What is it, dude? Just because the balls aren't dead, I listen.
But it's also been a very common theme around the MLB so far. But it also has to deal with weather.
Where?
It's still cold.
Where are you seeing that,
Joe? These guys are hitting balls to the warning track.
Okay, they're not hitting it far enough. That's what that is.
I mean, it's gonna happen, but I mean, you see the comparison, the way that baseballs were hit in 2019 and some in 2020.
We're going back 3 or 4 years now. We got to move on from that era. That's over now. We're not playing with the same baseballs as we did 4 years ago. We can't keep comparing baseball to 2019,
which obviously is unacceptable, and Lindor needs to find another way around that.
Yeah. We can't keep saying, oh, he hit the ball in the warning track. That's not good enough anymore. You can't say you're complaining about the balls. It's not good enough anymore.
And with Lindor, as you said, it's not good enough. And he has to pick it up to what he was doing to start the year. Mm-hmm. And that's not a question. But the thing for me is the players picking it up around Lindor. And I'm starting to see Marte pick it up as well with the bat. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 more hits yesterday. McNeil's hot. Nimmo had that big hit. Mm-hmm. And finally, J.D. Davis did something.
About time. About time.
Yeah.
No, seriously. It's about time with him. Dom Smith, too, needs to go on also.
Wait, and as you saw, Smith had that ridiculous game against Philly on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And the Mets decided to stick with him. And
which was the right move.
Yes, 100%. In that moment, I feel like you have to cut Cano, of course.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think Jankowski has too much value to the Mets. As like the fourth outfielder that Cano did,
right,
as like a backup DH that's hitting 130.
We talked about this on Monday. We know that these three guys all fill certain needs. Like we said, Jankowski is the fourth outfielder. Dom Smith and J.D. Davis are the platoon guys with lefties and righties on the mound. Depending on who it is, they'll get the start. All these guys serve a purpose. Robinson Cano did not serve a purpose.
And as you said, Cano serve zero.
Zero. He didn't have a purpose. He's just taking him a bench spot.
And a guy like Davis, if he's not going to start every day, because most of the time you're going to see a lot more righties than lefties, mm-hmm, so Smith will probably be in the lineup more often than not.
Right.
So when Davis is called upon in these late game scenarios, he needs to step up and hit the ball.
Right. That's what he did last night. And that's what he's got to continue to do, because we know what J.D. Davis can do with the bat. We know what he's done. We know what he's done in the field, but we know what he can do with the bat. He can hit the ball well. He's a good hitter in Major League Baseball.
And what I've found weird about some of the things that Buck has done with the lineup is sometimes hold DH Escobar and put J.D. Davis in the field.
Yeah.
And Davis has actually been okay in the field.
Well, how many games has he been in the field for?
Like 5 or 6.
It's not enough sample size.
It's not a lot. But it's a little bit confusing to me just because of Escobar is a better fielder than him. Why would you DH him?
Right. No, I understand that. It's just to get him off his feet, just to keep J.D. Davis ready in case there's an injury or whatever that he needs to play the field. I have no issue with that. Back to this big inning real quick. The Phillies put in a few guys here. They put in James Norwood, who put a few base runners on, but it was Knebel that got the job done in a sense and blew the game. I didn't expect the Phillies bullpen to be this bad. They bring in Knebel, they bring in Familia, they bring in Hand. All three of these guys are clearly washed up and they can't do anything. Joe Girardi's got to be losing his mind right now.
I think Girardi's on the hot seat.
Has to be.
I mean, the team. What are they? Four or five games under. I know it's only 26 games. They could easily turn that around, but the early season struggles, and I would say the Phillies had some sort of expectation this year.
Definitely.
With the additions of Schwarber and
Castellanos, the bullpen.
But they should be playing a lot better right now.
Yeah.
And the NL East, the top of the NL East, I don't even know if they've played the Braves yet either.
They might have won, I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem like they have any competition yet.
But so far, I mean, they played the Mets, who have shown to be a good team so far at the beginning of the year, and they've played a couple other subpar teams. And you saw it in the last series with the Phillies. They put up four or five runs in a two-game series, mm-hmm, with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Who are like a below average.
They're not lighting up the world with starting pitching.
No.
Those are games you need to win, let alone scoring four runs in two games.
But going back to that inning, the Mets tend to struggle against closers. Mm-hmm. And in that,
that's good.
They took advantage of hitting off of a closer for once, and coming back.
By the way, when do you think was the last time the Mets overcame this big of a deficit the night that it?
I think they said it was 1997.
There you go. I saw Evan Roberts did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 1997.
Yeah, he did the scorecard that game. Yeah. But, I think Girardi's definitely going to be on the hot seat. This is now 3 years that they're going to have a subpar year. And then this, like you said, after bringing in Castellanos and Schwarber and the washed-up bullpen. Regardless of what you think of those signings, at some point you just need to change. You need to change the voice. And again, it's not all Girardi's fault. I don't think he's been giving the talent he needs in all 3 years here. But at some point, you got to change the room. I argued this with Aaron Boone last year. It wasn't his fault. I don't think Aaron Boone's necessarily a bad manager. But sometimes you just need to get a different voice in the locker room.
Change of scenery, which obviously we saw the Mets do in the offseason.
Right.
Was that change of scenery, getting rid of Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was also a different scenario because of how poor the Mets did without DeGrom.
Yes, that's what it was.
How bad Rojas' management of the bullpen and the whole entire roster was.
I'm talking mid-season fire. And the last time I saw one, I think it was Cincinnati. I'm blanking on who it was, but I think
No, it wasn't
Dusty. It wasn't right? Dusty. It wasn't Dusty. I'm blanking who it was in Cincinnati. If I remember it, I'll bring it up. But I'm talking mid-season firings. They're very rare in baseball.
They rarely do it. And usually it'll happen. Sometimes a team will do it really early in the year as well. They'll do it, like, first half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought the Reds were going to be doing that very soon.
I think they will. May 6th now.
That is a bad team. But I love David Bell too. Like I think he's a good manager. But look at the team around him; he doesn't really have a lot.
He doesn't have much.
But at the same time, you can't start 3-22. I mean, what are you saying in the locker room to guys like that? Hey, with 3-22, we'll go back in there tomorrow. Like what do you do? It's bad.
I wouldn't know how to manage that.
No, that is tough.
All right, let's go get our ass. That
might be harder than like managing a World Series game, showing up to work the next day. That is tough.
So how are we gonna lose that? Yeah. And what's been absurd with them is the amount of pop ups they drop.
Yeah, it's the fielding errors are bad.
There was one more thing with the Phillies that has surprised me so far, and it's been the starting pitching. Mm-hmm. Coming into the year, I thought they would have had a little bit more like.
Well, I thought it was one of the strong suits.
So far.
No, I thought it was. I thought it would be
coming into the season.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen it. Nola's had a few good starts, and then we've seen him give up 6-7 runs to start. And Wheeler has been very underwhelming so far this year. Coming off
same thing with Ranger Suarez and Kyle Gibson.
I think
Gibson's been okay, but
yeah, Gibson's been okay. And Eflin's just an average pitcher.
Yeah, he's your typical 5-star. Yeah, they need to get more out of Nola, even though he was good last night.
He was really good.
Need to get more out of Nola. You need to get more out of Wheeler. He's got to be like he was last year,
which was. Cy Young.
Yes, he's got to be like that.
And they're both. It's
just they got to figure out the bullpen.
I mean, that's been a struggle for them the last 2-3 years now. Yeah. They've had ERAs in like the high fives.
Right.
In the bullpen.
And if they have any chance, they need to get going on the bullpen like quick. You can't keep doing this. Like I said, Brad Hand, Corey Knebel, Jason, all washed up. You can't keep trotting these guys out there. Jake, anything else from the Mets?
I just want to add one more thing, and it's. It hasn't been an issue for so far this year, and I'm glad to say this. And I saw it today. Is locking up Edwin Diaz a priority right now?
As of right now, I would wait until the end of the year. I think he's spotty. So far, he's been terrific. I mean, there's no arguing that. If he can do this for a full year and have minimal mistakes, yeah.
I mean, even coming off of last year, I thought he had a pretty good year coming off of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any year that he has in his future can't be any worse than 2019.
Right.
And he's not going to have a year like 2018 either where he gets, 55 saves, has like an under 2 ERA.
Right.
He's not going to have a crazy number like that. I think, obviously, if Diaz looks as nasty and dirty as he has so far this year, he deserves the contract.
Relief pitchers are always tricky. I compare them to kickers in the NFL. One day they're good, one day they're not. The next year they're good, the next year they're not. They're very inconsistent. It's very random, and you almost like Aaron Loop is a guy to me that stands out.
No one expected Aaron Loop to be like that, right? How has he been this year?
Go look it up. But I don't think anybody expected Aaron Loop to come to the Mets and be that kind of dominant pitcher.
A guy like just a reliever, just like Loop, is a lot different than just like a closer like Diaz or like Chapman.
Right, he's your bridge reliever. Yeah.
But like a guy like Loop, I don't know.
1.45 ERA. It's not terrible.
That's really good.
But he got a $16 million contract for 2 years.
And at the time of them signing, we don't even know like if the Mets like offered him a contract or anything, whether it would have been the money that he wanted.
Right. I mean, listen, not to reminisce on the offseason because no one cares. But looking back, I think it was a signing you needed to make. But I understand what they're saying. When it's what is he going to be next day? Is he going to do that again? Which he probably won't.
And now Trevor May's hurt as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's more of a let's just give this guy a break. I don't know if he's actually hurt. We're just going to sit down for him. He was so bad.
He hasn't seemed right.
He's off.
Really bad.
He's been wacky. Yeah.
And last guy.
Yeah.
Is Drew Smith and how good Drew Smith has been.
He's the best reliever
among qualified relievers. He hasn't given up a run yet.
Yeah.
And if he has, it's been unearned because he has a ERA right now.
He has been their best relief pitcher besides Diaz. I talk about a bridge guy. He is the bridge guy right now. Now, can he keep that up? That remains to be seen. But right now, he should be the eighth inning guy. No Lugo. Can't use May.
Except for that one game in the beginning, I think Lugo's actually been.
Lugo, you have to worry about is he ready to go? He's got the stamina issues.
Yeah.
He's pretty unreliable at times.
Lugo.
Yeah.
And sometimes, some days he'll be ready, some days.
Yes.
my arm's sore.
No, I can't go. I'm done to the All-Star break. You know. So we'll wrap it up with the Rangers, and they're going to Pittsburgh now with a series tied at one. And game one to me was definitely a game they should have had. When you see Casey DeSmith go down, and then you bring Louis Domingue, who, by the way, is an AHL goalie.
He started for the Devils last year.
Yes, if you're a Devil fan, you feel him here. He definitely he was a Devil last year. But that was a game they should have won. They had so many chances. They had Igor standing on his head. He had almost 80 saves. I think it was 79. But close to 80 saves in six periods on Tuesday. But that's in the past. They get the win yesterday. You got to keep taking advantage of them, which they did yesterday. They scored five goals on them.
There are two players, Joe, that, like, in particular that need to be mentioned, and it's Vetrano and Kopp.
Yes.
Two of the guys that they acquired at the trade deadline. Two pieces that have been absolutely phenomenal. And I think Kopp is scoring at a ridiculous rate.
Yes.
And he even did that toward the end of the season and now into the playoffs as well.
Now, Kopp is, I don't want to say I expected this, because I don't think I expected him to go off like this. You knew what you were getting with Kopp. Frankie V, I did not think that I was getting this type of production from a player like that. First of all, I never heard of him when he came here. Okay, but I never in a million years did I think Frank Vetrano would be this useful in the playoffs. I think he was in Florida, if you guys.
No, I know that. What lines like are they playing on? Or Vetrano?
Vetrano's up on the second line. Cobb, I think Cobb's like his third line.
Who's that with?
Like Panarin. Oh, okay. Carter's first. Panarin. I think Kako's on there. Strom is the second line.
But I mean, I'm looking at it right now. He already has two assists and a goal, Vetrano.
Yeah.
Which is.
It's a point of game.
Pretty good.
That's a point of game. He has been unreal. But, so the Smith we learned today is out for the entire series. So we're getting Louis Domingue. This itself should clinch the series. If you cannot beat Louis Domingue, because this is now a five-game series, we're tied. If you cannot beat Louis Domingue another three times, then you don't deserve to go on. It's as simple as that. He's an AHL goalie. He was playing in, they're not the Hershey Bears, I forget what their AHL team is, but they were playing whatever AHL team Pittsburgh is earlier in the year.
I mean, he's literally the backup.
Backup. Right. Yeah. He is their third choice. Yeah. So, when I say they need to score, I'm going to be easy on them. They got to score at least three goals a game, because I think Igor can control then. I think he can hold the Penguins to three or less.
And I mean, of course, with a obviously below average goalie that the Penguins have, obviously they still have that really good offense.
So yes. You got to worry about them scoring. Igor
at the top of his game.
But I fully expect Igor to be at the top of his game. If he is standing on his head like he was in game one, and like he was in game two, if he plays like this for the rest of the series and hopefully in future series this year, they'll be fine. Because they can score on Louis Domingue. They have to score on Louis Domingue. If they don't, what are we doing here? What the hell are we doing here?
Louis Domingue.
I don't even know how DeSmith got hurt. He kind of took himself out.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know either. Where's Jari? Like, what happened to Jari?
He got an injury in the last week of the season. I don't know if he got hit or if I know it was the last week of the season, though.
But lastly on the Rangers, when it comes to, like, their offense, like, obviously, Zibanejad, all those guys, Panarin's always going to be the go-to guy for the Rangers.
Yes.
And I think you need to work the offense to him. Yes. And I feel like one of the most underrated parts so far of this brief series has been the defense from Keandre Miller. I think he's been an X factor on the defense for the Rangers.
No, since this is going back to like the trade deadline, he has really stepped up his game and he's taken a big step forward. I thought you were going to mention how physical the series has been. This is one of the most physical playoff series.
What were your thoughts on the Carter hit?
I didn't like it. I hope Ryan Reeves smashes his head in it when we get to Pittsburgh. But no, I think it was a cheap blindside hit to Igor, who wasn't looking. Try to take him out. And if I'm watching Georgiev here versus Louis Domingue, this might be the lowest rated playoff series would be terrible.
Imagine just like a neutral fan coming in. It was Tristan Jarry. It was supposed to be Jarry against Igor. Or DeSmith against Shesterkin, and now it's Louis Domingue.
It's two AHL goals. I'm calling Georgiev an AHL goalie. Yeah.
That would be a bad way to
be the lowest rated NHL playoff series ever. But yeah, that's all we got for today. The Yankees are starting the series against Texas Sunday. They're not even going to play. They're going to cancel tomorrow's game, too, because the tri-state area will be pouring. The Mets are starting, they're continuing their series with the Phillies tonight. and the Rangers are back in action tomorrow night. The Mets were postponed, so they're tomorrow also. So a very quiet New York sports night going.
I'm reading right now, Joe. Jari, they said, won't be available for games 1 and 2. So I'm guessing they expect them back within the next couple of days.
Yeah. That's a game changer for them. If they can get him back, that's a game changer. But a quiet night in New York sports. So if you're watching, enjoy baseball in the country, NBA and NHL playoffs. Trevor should be back on Monday when we do a show again. But for now, I'm Joe Morales. That's Jay Schwinger. This has been the MDM Podcast.